But, you know, I just want to continue with my sermon series today about all in. You know, I was in prayer this morning, and I looked at my wife, and I said, "Are you all in?" And she about smacked me. Because my wife is all in. When God calls her to do something, I can say that she does it at 100 mile an hour, 100% of the time. But I would think that she would say the same thing about me. You know, when God lays something on your heart, you just kind of go at it. And you go until God says, okay, that's enough. But during that journey, that process, that situation, God sends you through a few things. So things happen that we have to make the natural decisions that we make. And today I want to talk to you about some of those natural decisions that we make as we're heading to that all in, all for God, all or nothing type of situation. So let me do a quick review with you on what we introduced last week. And listen to this. I'm going to read this to you. I read this to you last week. The gospel doesn't cost anything, but it does demand everything. It demands that we go all in, a term that simply means placing all that you have into God's hands, pushing it all in. And that's where we get stuck. It's kind of like a spiritual island sometimes. We're left all to ourselves. We're afraid that if we do this and we go all in, we may miss something that the world may have for us, whatever that may be. But we know that's not true. The only thing that you'll miss is what God has for you because you just went down the wrong path. The good news is this, church. If you don't hold out on God, God's not going to hold out on you. But you've got to get to that end result. That end result is in your mind and that decision. We say, I am going for it. It's an all-in concept, invested deeply in something. All-in means finding the meaning of life by the story that God is writing in us and then through us. It's that wisdom available that God gives us to take on the challenge, the process, the movement. It's a spiritual thing, right? Those gifts, talents, and callings that God gave you that I watch every Sunday when the worship team's doing their thing or the teachers and whatnot throughout here. And I'm in my office and I hear the class next door and I hear the biggest preacher in the church, Ken, going at it. It's powerful. I listen to that all in. And then in the natural, our family, job, finances, and health and whatnot, and what we do at times to say, I'm all in. I attended a function last night, a charitable function, and I heard story after story, and we watched people that were just all in. And they honored this lady that had been at this company for 46 years. She started this, when she went into this company, she was 18 years old. She graduated high school and went right to work for this company. And she never worked anywhere else in her life. And now she was retiring, and she had just put in 46 years at the same company, doesn't know any other employer. That's an all-in concept. And then the early church in Acts 4, and we're going to read this again like we did last week, Acts chapter 4, 32 through 35, the church, when it was birthed, was all in. All the believers, one in heart and mind. I love that. All the believers are in one heart and one mind. You know what that tells you? That says they were together in unity. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they had shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all. There were no needy people among them. You know, that's what I want. I want to know that God's house just takes care of one another. I just want to know that if one of us is hurting, there's someone there to come in and stand in the gap. Right? From time to time, those who own land or houses, they sold them and they brought the money from the sales. They put it with the apostles' feet, at their feet. And it was distributed to everybody. You know, what that means is they just took care of one another because they believed the cause. They believed what they were doing. They believed the start of the church. They believed in Jesus Christ. They knew that there was an all-in concept there, and they were going to be a part of it. And then I told you last week about my little example when I was growing up, and I'd go over to my grandfather's house, and virtually every time I walked into his house, he had Gunsmoke on. And I asked a bunch of you to raise your hand, and, you know, who watched Gunsmoke? And that dated us, right? That showed our age, because, yeah, we're still like, yeah. Several of you talked to me about Gunsmoke this last week, and I saw a couple more episodes this last week. I thought, okay, that's good, you know. And I remember I used that as an analogy, that every time I watch the show with my grandfather, and I still watch it to this day, they're always playing poker, right, at the table. And there is these big four things that would happen at that poker table, right? Here's the pastor talking about poker from the pulpit again, right? They would fold or pass. We're going to talk about that today. They would just call. They'd hold. They'd raise. And then they did what we're going to talk about more in a few weeks. They just went all in. And today I'm going to talk to you about the concept of folding or holding. See, we're heading in this direction in your life, and we're going all in. We're doing something that we're headed towards, and we're just not going to stop until we get there. But then something happens to us in the church or in our personal lives. Something happens that starts to distract us from the all-in concept. And the first thing I see, it's so funny, back to my Gunsmoke days, the first thing I see is we get to the stage right away where we have to make a decision. And that decision is, do I quit? Do I fold? Do I just hold and just, or pass, which is about the same thing, right? And today, that's what we're going to talk about, because that's something that happens right away. It seems like, you know, as soon as something starts coming at us, we just kind of clamp down and we pass, or we hold or fold or something. Let me give you a little story that I thought was really intriguing. Back in the 2016 Olympics, you may know this story, but the 4x100 women's relay team was qualifying. It's in the Olympics. They're at the Olympics. These ladies were the best athletes in the world, competing against the best athletes in the world. And they get to the starting block. And if you know the relay, the 100 relay, it's, you know, you have to pass the baton. You run so far, you pass the baton, the next lady runs so far, and so on and so forth. Four times. And so you would move through this process, and they would get at the starting block, and they hit the gun, and the ladies took off, 2016 Olympics, and they run. And during one of the legs, they go to pass the baton, and they dropped it. Now, if you know anything about racing and passing the baton, you drop the baton, you're pretty much out of the race. Because you would have to go pick up the baton, make sure the next lady got it, and take off. And you know, they're running like the wind, and you're about done. But they dropped the baton, but the lady had the presence of mind to go grab it and take off. It doesn't seem like much right there, because they know they're going to lose. Because there's no way you're going to catch them up. You know, there's no way, right? You're going to lose. But this lady takes off, and she finished last. But something happened in that story, if you know the story, is when they were passing the baton, you have your lanes that you are required to stay in. You're not allowed to leave your lane. You're not allowed to brush up against the sides of any other runner. You own the lane. It's kind of like in baseball when you're batting. You own the batter's box. When I'm in the batter's box, I can do anything I want. I can move anywhere, but I can't leave the batter's box. And then when I'm a catcher on the defensive side, I can go anywhere I want, but I'm not allowed to go in the batter's box and invade the batter's space. And if I do, he can just stand there. And if I run into him, I run into him. But he doesn't have to move. But when you're in that lane, you own it. But when they were making that turn, the lady from Brazil didn't leave her lane, but her shoulder brushed up against the shoulder of the other runner. And she dropped the baton. So she picks up the baton and takes off and finishes last. But, you know, it's a unique story because the United States filed an appeal saying we dropped the baton and failed to compete because someone brushed up against us. So the 2016 Olympic Committee reviewed that and said, yeah, that was interference. That's not fair. You'll get to run again. How do you run again? How do you run the whole race again? And here's what they decided to do. Because the lady had the presence of mind to pick up the baton and finish the race, dead last, allowed the team of the United States women's 4x100 relay team the ability to make the appeal to the Olympic Committee to take a look at this. If she would have not picked up that baton and finished the race, she would have had no opportunity. She's dead last, but had no idea that going dead last allowed them another opportunity. She didn't see it. She didn't hear it. She didn't know it. She just had the presence of mind to do exactly what she was trained to do and finish the race dead last. So she finished dead last. It was reviewed. And they said, okay, yep, you're right. That's exactly what happened. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you run again. And so they allowed the United States women's team of the 4x100 relay to run this race again all by themselves. All by themselves. So the ladies got on the starting blocks. This was, I think, a day later or so. It wasn't the same time. It was a few hours before the main event, the big race for the gold. And they let these women race by themselves against the clock. Because that's what you're racing against anyways, the clock, right? You're really not racing against other people. Your best time wins. So they let them race. And here these ladies go. No interference. Stay in your lane. Exact same scenario. Boom. And, you know, it's funny because the ladies finished a second overall time in the entire world when they did that race. So they were allowed back in to the final event, the 2016 4x100 women's relay in the Olympics. But you know what that required? That required that the team that actually got in got bumped out. China, you're out of here. So there was a little turmoil there. That young lady who picked up the baton didn't pass. She finished last, giving her and her team the opportunity for another day. And they ran that race, they finished, and they got into the final race. And here is these ladies that, you know, in the final race. And here we go again. And they raced the final 4x100 women's relay in the 2016 Olympics. Maybe you know the story. And the United States ladies finished number one. You know why? Because there were four women on that day, they dropped that baton, that were all in. They didn't quit. They didn't fold. They didn't pass. I just came across that story by chance. I had never heard the story. I didn't know it. And as I'm researching for my sermon, I stumbled on the story. I said, wow, I didn't know that. That's only a few years ago. They ran the second fastest time in the history of the Olympics. They ran the second fastest time in the qualifying event when they got to run again, the second fastest time in the world. And then when the actual event took place for the 2016 Olympics, they ran the second fastest time ever. And they won. Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? That just spoke to me that if she wouldn't have picked up the baton, she would never have finished and never had the opportunity to run again. And she didn't know that. Because she just had the presence of mind just to move forward. That's exactly what we go through in our personal lives. What we don't see, what we can't hear, what we don't understand. God's laid something on your heart. And we go through this process. And sometimes, if you know, we feel like I just can't do it anymore. I got to quit. I'm done. I pass. I fold. You do it. God laid it on your heart. No, I'm not going to do it. You don't know the end result. You don't know the prize at the end. You don't know what's going to happen unless you get to the end of the race. We don't know. We just don't know. You know, a couple things. Adversity hit those ladies that day. Adversity. What do? When you drop the baton, it's like a catastrophic thing. What do? You just want to kind of like hide. But they rebounded. And they finished the race. You know, it reminded me of 1 Corinthians 9:24. And listen, it says this. Don't you know that in the race, all the runners, they run, but only one receives the prize? So you've got to run the race to receive it. They dropped the baton, but they got up and they finished the race. And they received the prize because they completed the race, even though they didn't know they would get there. Galatians says in 6:9, it says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season. See, in due season, at the right time, at the right moment, when God says it's time, when God says it's right, not when Pastor Brad says it's right, not when you say it's right. In due season, when the Lord thy God says, now's the time. In due season. In due season. You will reap. Then the scripture says, if you don't give up. If those ladies would have given up because there was zero chance of finishing the race and winning, they would have never got the opportunity to see and race another day. It's crazy how the scriptures align with natural life. It's crazy, folks, of how God has orchestrated the whole thing, and he has placed in the Word of God the words race, runners. And when I was going over my sermon and I found this story, I was just amazed. But then I stopped and looked at my desk. I took off my glasses and I said, God, I'm not amazed because you do it all the time. Sometimes I'm just not paying attention to see all the time he does it. But he does it all the time. All the time. So I want to talk to you just for a few minutes here and then you get to eat. If you don't listen to my sermon, you don't get to eat. How you like that? You don't listen attentively, you don't get to go eat good food. And I'm going to tell you a few points of why we don't quit in that race. These are really practical points this morning. But you're going to listen to this and you're going to say to yourself, wow. And God's going to open up something for you and you're going to have a change of perspective today. See, I see pastoral transition like we're going through right now for associate pastors is a rough time. But I'm now going to focus on celebration of what has taken place with an expectation of what God's going to do next. And there's a difference. It's a mentality. I say, okay, I could just say, oh my gosh, woe is us. Or I could say, God, show me greater things. I'm all in. Listen to this. Why I don't quit? Because God says you're doing better than you actually think you're doing. I'm going to tell you something. Here's something that my wife reminds me of this. Your emotions are going to lie to you. Your emotions are going to lie to you. My emotions lie to me. They're going to lie to you. We are meant to doubt our doubts. We are meant to feed our faith. When I start to doubt, I got to doubt my doubt. Because that is not of God. I've got to doubt my doubt. Here's a couple big lies why I don't quit. And why I know I'm doing better than I really think I am. Because here's the first big lie. This lie is, you make no difference. Church, listen to your pastor. You make a difference. You may not see it. You may have dropped the baton. You may be going slower than what you think you are. But let me tell you something. You're making a difference. Sometimes we don't see it. And other times we just don't acknowledge it, but you're making a difference. Do not accept the big lie that says you have no impact. Your whole life is an impact. Everything you say and everything you do, you are impactful. Why? The Bible says you serve the greatest king in the history of any king, the greatest I am, the great I am. The creator of the heavens and the earth, the universe, we are serving. That is my motivation. And here's the other big lie. No one notices. That's a lie. Church, everybody notices. You're going to see how many people notice as Calvary Church continues its renovations for 2019. You're going to see how many people notice. I have people stopping here when I'm here on certain days, and they would say, "When'd you put up that sign?" People walking through our parking lot say, "That's a beautiful sign. When'd you do that?" People notice. Don't think for one second that people don't notice. King David was discouraged. I think King David would have been justified, I guess, to pass or fold, if you wanted, if you know the story. Let me read something to you in 1 Samuel 36. It says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself by what?" He strengthened himself, the Bible says, through the Lord his God. See, he didn't do other natural things. He immediately went to the Lord thy God and said, "I need strength. I need wisdom. I need God. I need this stuff. And I believe if I approach you with it, you'll bless me with it." He stopped looking outward for the answer, and he started looking upward. My mistake is I try to do too much on my own. I try to look outward sometimes, and my wife reins me in, and she says, "No, look upward." And sometimes she says that, and she has no idea that I heard it. But I listen. Sometimes I drop the baton. No, I drop the baton a lot. More than you know. That's not the time to smile, dear. And don't, no, not the thumbs up either. That's later. That's later. I dropped the baton a lot. What would happen if I didn't pick it back up? David remembered who he was, but more importantly, he remembered God. Point number two is why we don't quit, why we don't pass, why we don't fold. You're further along than you think you are. What a big lie is you're not making any progress. It ain't working. I'm further along than I really think I am. I'm further along than what I ever imagined. I've heard over the years this comment. It says, you better enjoy the journey because the destination is just a fantasy. You better enjoy the ride, because the end result is not going to happen. And I hear that from pastors. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're farther along than what we think we are, because God sees it all. I'm doing more than what I think I'm doing. I'm making an impact more than what I think I am. And so are you. Lives are being changed, and you're not going to see the extent of everything that you have done to be all in until you get to the other side. And God says to you, "Welcome in, that good and faithful servant. Take a look. And here's the scroll. Look what you did." Then something's going to happen, church. I'm going to tell you, something's going to happen. There's going to be a person that walks up to you, and I, heaven, looks us in the eye and says this: "Thank you. I'm here because of you. Because you were all in. And you didn't quit. You didn't fold. You didn't pass." It's so easy to do that. It's Church, it's easier to fold and pass than it is to finish. Those ladies were so justified just to leave the baton out in the grass and forget it. She runs over, picks it up, and keeps on going. I read that story. It says some people said, why? Why would you bother? They were halfway around the track when she picked it up. It was just, forget it. Now you know why. But she did not. You're further along than you think you are. It's unbelievable. Church, even though you're not where you want to be, you're not where you used to be. I'm really known for this phrase. I just wish I could be a little farther along. God laid this on my heart. I got to look back and say, at least I'm not there anymore. And I actually see my progress. I'd say, boy, I'm not that guy anymore. I don't live there anymore. That's not who I am anymore. That's not how I live anymore. God's not got me doing that anymore. Thank you, Lord. You know, I don't have to do that. I remember our first church. And I'm going to tell a quick little story. Oh, no, here we go. I remember our first church. And, you know, it was these poor people. They were having a tough time, and their pastor disappeared on them after he completely beat up his wife. And he leaves. And they send Brad and Nicole Myers down there, and it wasn't even Myers at the time, was it? Talk about a hurting bunch. But the thing we got from this group of people, they said, we love this church. We're all in. Remember that, dear? They were all in. The pastor just beat up his wife and took off, but they were all in. We still talk to those people to this day. Many of them are no longer with us. But I'm farther along than I think I am. And here's something that I feel we have to do to really understand that. We have to keep a gratitude journal or a faith file. Because we don't remember what God has brought us through and where we're at and where we're not at anymore, unless sometimes we just had written it down and we read it. Because guess what? I'm old and I forget it. But when I'm in the middle of the situation, I just kind of get lost in the fact that here it is. And sometimes I just need to pull out my faith file, which, yeah, I have one. And I look and say, wow, God did this, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this. And I see reading, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and wow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He just did all these things for me. I am farther along than I think I am. Another reason I don't quit is God is doing more than I could even see. There's more going on in your life that you don't even see. Here's a quote for you. It says, our world loves to glorify the finished product. God is in the business of magnifying the work in progress. Don't let what's wrong with the circumstances around you keep you from glorifying what God is doing in you at that time. We're all about getting to the end and being the end result, but God is in the business of glorifying the process to get us there. Something supernatural is going on in this process. God works in me before he works through me. There's a work to be done inside of me before God can work and use me. But he can use an imperfect vessel because he does with me every single day and he does with you. But God still has to fix some things inside of me before he can work some things through me. God is always doing more than I can see. And you know, I'm glad of that. God's always got his hand in. The Bible talks about clay in the scriptures. He's just molding me more and more to get me to where he wants me to be. And I could just see it in the heaven that I'm a fighter, and so I can see him. He said, I don't want to do it this way. And God says, no, this is exactly the way I want you. And sometimes that process takes a little bit longer because I kind of fight against it. Come on, people, you know I'm talking to you too. You're all smiling at me. You know it's true. We do that. Point number four, why I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to pass or fold. Here it is. There are people that need what I have. See, years and years ago, there was a preacher that came to this church outside of Salem, Ohio. And the church was so small at the time, but I attended, and my mom made me go. She dragged me to church. And we would go all the time. And we had this guest speaker, and he had something that I didn't have. And he spoke of it, and I'm 9 years old, but he talked about it. I listened attentively at 9 years old. I had heard it many times before from our regular preacher, but when he said it, it just kind of resonated with me, and I went up front to get what he had. He had something that I didn't, and I was nine, but I wanted it. And now I wonder if he had any idea I'd be standing here today talking to you fine people. See, you have something that somebody else needs. You have a key. God's not done with you yet. There are people out there that need to hear what you have. Listen to this. This is a good quote for us all. We will lose our way when we lose our why. See, we lose our way if we lose why we're here. And the number one reason why we're here is the Church of Jesus Christ is what? To seek and save the lost. Everything we do around here is to start with that, seeking and saving the lost. God's house should be full because we're committed to this. And if we hand one of these out and someone doesn't show up, we continue to hand them out because somebody will show up. Because I have something that they need. Sometimes they just don't know they need it yet. Revelation 2, 4 through 5 says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had in the first place. Remember, therefore, from where you had fallen, repent and do the works you did in the first place. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." See, we have this mission that God's laid on our hearts as the Church of Jesus Christ. We have a mission. And sometimes the mission isn't something that we want to do. Sometimes it's not something that I want to do. Sometimes it's something that you don't want to do. But God's laid a mission in front of us and says, just give me a season. Give me a season. Give me a month. Give me 3 months. Give me 6 months. Give me a year. Give me 20 years. Whatever it is, God lays a mission there. There's people out there that need what we have, folks. We're going to be all in to make sure they get it. Because Calvary Church will reach so many people. And the churches down the street will reach so many people. And this church over here, they'll reach these people. But the church that this church will reach our people. The people that we need to reach. We have something that we've got to give them. But if we don't give it to them, they may not hear it. Oh, Pastor, this is the United States. We hear it all the time. How do you know? Prove that to me. Prove it to me that person will not hear, will hear it someplace else if we don't say it. I've heard many times, even since living in Canton, I've never heard that before. I have a group at Starbucks, and we talk about this, and he said, I've not heard that before. You're the first one that's ever told me that. That's a crying shame, right? Point number five, we'll wind this up. It says, stop carrying the burden. Share the burden. It's not the burden that will crush you. It's how we carry the burden that will put us under. We all have burdens. We all have difficulties. Matthew 11 speaks it like this. Verse 28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, like David did, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is not your burden to bear. The creator of the heavens and the universe has given us the ability to go to him and say, I can't do this by myself. I need your help. That's why I say many times, you hear me say this, when I call people to the altar, I say, bring your burdens up here. But when you leave the altar, leave them here. Leave them here. That's hard, Pastor. And of course it's hard. But we have to take the step to do it. We have to take the step to leave them here. We carry burdens we don't have to carry. We are not meant to carry some of these burdens. We are meant to share those burdens with others. And here's one that I am so appreciative that we share around here. I'm telling you, this church loves one another. I know I was supposed to be called to set up the room next door, and I showed up the other day, and the tables were all set up. They were all skirted. It looked absolutely beautiful. And nobody called me. Now, I'm going to track down those people. It was probably one of the most difficult past weeks. There was so much to do, and I didn't even get to all of it. And I walk in there, and it looks beautiful, as you will see in a couple of minutes. People are just sharing the burdens of one another. The burden that I have, someone shares with me. The burden you have, I'll share with you. That's the family of God. Thank you for being the family of God. Stop carrying that burden. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens. This fulfills the law of Christ. Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which you have a great reward, for you have the need of endurance, so that when you come down, pardon me, so when you have done the will of God, you will receive what's promised. I'm going to tell you something. The resistance to me quitting and you quitting is always the strongest right before I reach that breakthrough. Right before I get there, that seems like that. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want you there. The enemy doesn't want you invading his territory. The enemy doesn't want you coming in and just storming the camp. Resistance is always strongest right before the breakthrough. And I'm going to ask our music team to come forward right now. And I want to wind this up. But I want to wind it up for some really important things. Really important things. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. One I already read. But I hear this in ministry often, and I still coach a church that I've had for a number of years of helping them out. And I met with the guy this past week, and what a great guy, and what progress they have made. And they're doing so well, and the church is growing, and things are moving forward. And but what a situation he had to endure to get there. It's just, but he never quit. I would meet with him once a month and tell him, you know, listen, just don't quit. Onward. He would say, attendance is this, and this is going on, and this is going on. I said, well, let's focus on the big positive things that God is doing. And let's not be deceived by what we see and what we hear. I meet with him this past Wednesday. He says, it's amazing. It's amazing. I've got the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God coming to the church in November. We are just doing great. They won the Missions Award this past year for the biggest increase in missions giving in the state of Ohio. That is a huge undertaking. Why? Why do I think the church is doing so well? Well, this church decided to listen to the pastor that doesn't even go there anymore, doesn't pastor that church. I said, listen, just seek and save the lost. Just do what God's called you to do. Be the church of Jesus Christ. And they committed that they were going to increase their missions giving so much. I said, how are you going to pay for that? I don't know. We're just going to believe. Great, let's go. They won the state award for the biggest increase in giving in missions in the state of Ohio. Of all 300 Assembly of God churches, number one. I'm not going to say the name of it, but you can probably look it up. In Galatians 6:9, I just read this. It says, let us not grow weary and become discouraged in doing good. For in the proper time, you will reap the big reward, but you can't give up. You can't allow what you see and what you hear to hold you back and say, I don't see it, I don't hear it, I, steady. Church, steady. Just be steady. Here's the one you've probably been waiting for. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life to which you are called, about which you made the good confession in the presence of witnesses. Now, I'm going to give you this opportunity to make a confession in front of witnesses today. Why? Because the scripture says in front of witnesses. I'm going to give you this awesome opportunity to make a confession. There will be two. I'll have two questions. I'm going to lay those out here in a minute. We're going to pray and go eat lunch. But what happens here in the next 1 minute is going to change lives at Calvary Church for eternity. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I've been talking all morning about the Lord Jesus Christ, but if there is somebody here that says in their heart of hearts, I don't really know who that person is, or I just need to come back to where I used to be in my walk with Christ, I'm going to give you the opportunity to raise your hand, no one looking around. I'm going to pray with you today. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to embarrass you. It's just not what we're going to do. But I'm going to ask you, if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ or just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you. So on the count of three, if that is you, just shoot your hand up. The Bible says, number one, the day of salvation is today. Two, no one knows the time or the date. The Lord Jesus is Christ's second coming. We don't know what's going to happen. We're only knowing what's going on in the presence. We have no guarantees. We'll get to the next building and have lunch. So if you want Christ to come into your life, on the count of three, just raise your hand. I'd like to pray with you. Three, if that is you, just raise your hand. One, two, thank you very much. Three, thank you very much. Once you put your hands up, you can put your hands down. I want to pray for those that raise their hands. But I have another question for you. It is very easy for us to quit. It's easier to quit than to fight and run the race. It's easier to quit than pick up the baton and finish the race. It's easier to say, I've had enough, pass. I don't want to do it any longer. It's easy to do that. What is hard is picking up the mantle and forging on. I'm going to give you the opportunity today to say, Pastor, I'm not quitting. I'm going on for Jesus no matter what he asked me to do. So I'm going to ask you right now a question. How many here would today commit not to fold, not to pass, not to quit, to finish the race, to be all in, to move forward, to do what God's called you to do? If that is you today and you commit, you're not going to quit no matter what. I want to see your hands. Just raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Once you put your hands up, you can put them down. 3 people said, I want Jesus in my heart. 15 people said, Pastor, I'm in. I'm not going to quit. I'm going forward. Let's pray together, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I want to pray for these 3 who raised their hands and said, Lord Jesus, come back into my life. Come into my life. Lord God, you saw those hands. You saw those hands of surrender. I pray, Lord God, you move mightily in their lives. I pray, Lord God, that things that happen today are different than yesterday. Lord God, I pray that you invade their lives with your power, your spirit, your presence. You give them those things that they need. But Lord God, I'm going to ask you right now to do exactly what I told my son to pray this last week. And Lord God, you know what that is. Lord, I'm going to ask you to show yourself mighty to them today more than they've ever seen. Show yourself mighty, Lord God. The eyes of the 3 people that raised their hands and accepted you either for the first time or rededicated their lives. Father God, I'm praying right now for the 15 people or so that raised their hands and said, I'm not done. I don't fold. I don't quit. I don't pass. If the baton was dropped, I'm going to pick it up and finish the race. I'm going to do whatever I have to do because the reward comes only if I finish the race. God, I pray right now for all 15 of those people. I pray, Lord God, for the person that didn't raise their hand. Yeah, I know that person. Lord God, I pray right now for them as well. Lord, touch their lives. Make it a difference in their lives. Let them know when they leave Calvary Church today, they made a commitment not to quit, not to pass the baton, not to drop it. If they do, they pick it up. Onward for Jesus. We will finish the race. Lord God, I pray the same power in their lives as I prayed for the others, Lord. Lord, show yourself even mightier to them. Show yourself and your power to them. Lord God, let them know that they know that they know they serve the risen Savior. Lord God, we give you praise and honor and glory today. And we thank you that you showed up here before we even got out of bed. Lord God, we give you the rest of the service. We give you this luncheon as we honor and love on one of our own. We thank you for her life. We thank you for her family's lives. Lord, I want to say a special prayer. I thank you for loaning her and her family to me for a short season. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Stand with me as we close. Let's go out on a big note. It is time. God's God is just not done with us yet. Hallelujah.